Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebar in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebar, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen.
Daf Mem. Today's daf has been sponsored anonymously l'rfuah shelema Aliza Batsara. Emna refanala betoch she'ar chole amo Yisrael. Amen. Today's daf is being studied le'ilun nishmat Hacham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihem began Eden. Amen. Today's phone call is coming from the United Kingdom in London at the home of our sponsor, Daniel Taman. May Hashem bless him and his family with Bezat Hashem, much nahat from his children and continued success. Haslacha v'arvacha b'chol ma'asei yadav. Amen. We are starting on Lamed Tet Amud Bet, and we are on the bottom line. And the Gemara begins, Amar Rav Yosef, lo lechlot inish trechite bahade hadade. Rav Yosef comes along and says that a person should not make halita, which means should not boil in hot water two kernels of wheat simultaneously. Meaning if he wants to make halita, he should put one kernel in at a time. What's the reason why he shouldn't do two? Dilma azla chada v'yetva bitzriya d'havirta. Because maybe one kernel is going to sit on the other kernel, which means they're going to sit and attach themselves to each other when they're in the pot. Velo salik lihu dikula demaya me'arba ruhata. And the heat of the water is not going to be able to surround the kernel on all four sides, which means the water is not going to be able to penetrate all four sides of the kernel. Ve'ate lidei chemutz. And therefore it's going to cause it to become chametz. Even though we learned earlier that halita, when you put it in boiling water, it does stop the chemutz process, but the chiddush of Rav Yosef is that when you put two at a time, the concern is that they might be touching each other, and therefore not allowing the water to go through, and therefore you'll have a situation where they can become chametz. The Gemara continues, Ve'amar Abaye taught, Lo lechroch inish tresh bule bahadeh hadadeh. Another way of roasting kernels was they would put them to the fire. They would make harikha, they would singe them. They would put them to the fire. So Abaye said a person should not singe or burn two kernels together. Why? Dilma nafke maya mehai ubala idach. The concern is that when you burn the kernel, some juice comes out of it, some liquid comes out of it. The concern is that the juice might come out of one kernel and get absorbed into the other kernel. And it'll bring it to chimutz. Now, even though this juice, we'll call it, that's in the kernel would be classified as meperot, meperot is fruit juice, Abaye is of the opinion that meperot has the ability to make something chametz. And therefore the concern is if you're taking two kernels together and you're roasting them or you're putting them to the fire, so maybe one juice from one of the kernels is going to come out and is going to be absorbed into the second kernel, and therefore it is going to cause chimutz. Now, even though each kernel has its own juice, Abaye holds that the juice in the kernel itself does not cause chimutz, but the juice that exits one kernel and goes into another kernel, that has the ability to cause chametz. And therefore he says, when one is making the chiruch process, one should not do it with two kernels at a time for that concern. Amar le Rava, So Rava comes along and says, if that's what your concern is, even one kernel alone should be forbidden to put to the fire and singe. Why? Dilma nafik mehay resha ubala idach resha. Because the concern is that maybe juice from that kernel itself might exit from one side and then re-enter from another side. And therefore, if you're concerned about the juice, you should be concerned about even one kernel at a time. Again, the concern would be that the juice will come out and then go back in, which would be a problem. So therefore, Rava argues on Abay Yezdin. Ela amar Rava, Rava says, Me perot ninu. Really, the juice that's in this kernel is considered fruit juice. Ume perot enan machmitzin. And we know the rule, as we learned earlier, Me perot does not have the ability to cause chametz. Therefore, according to Rava, there would be no problem to singe two kernels at a time. The Gemara says, "Vehadar be Abaye mehahi." Even Abaye retracted from that shita, and he holds that really you can singe more than one kernel. Dechol agav midlayhu lo machmese, which means kol agav midlayhu, that if the liquid falls from one kernel downward on another kernel, so that does not have the ability to make chametz, which means when you're burning these kernels, so some of the juice is going to fall out and drip on the other kernel. Abaye retracted and holds that when the juice falls from one kernel to the other, it does not have the ability to cause chametz. Now the Gemara is going to explain. The Amar Abaye, how do we know that Abaye retracted? Because we have a statement of Abaye. Hai hatzba de avishna. You have a certain jug, and that jug is specifically used for drying out wheat. Which means, as we learned earlier, they used to take the wheat and they used to dry roast it. So they used to have a certain jug that was used for this process. Sechifa shareh. If you take this jug and you turn it over, which means not in the receptacle side, you turn it over so it's upside down, and therefore, he says, it would be permissible to take kernels, put them on the back of this jug, and roast them. Because any liquid that comes out of the kernels is going to just slide off. Because there is no receptacle using the back of the jug. And therefore, you have no problem. There's no subject of chametz. Zikifa asur. But if the jug is face up, which means it's in the receptacle side, it's going to be asur to roast kernels in that jug on Pesach. Because the water or the juice that comes out of the wheat, it now collects. And now you have a puddle of juice, let's say, in the kad, and it's going to get swallowed into the ketim and cause it to become chametz. So what do you see from over here? From the fact that Abaye allowed, when the jug is upside down, to roast more than one kernel, so he wasn't concerned about the juice going from one kernel to the other. The only concern would be is if it's sitting in a puddle of juice, and then it gets absorbed. But since it's the back of the jug, the water just slides right off. So therefore you see he wasn't concerned about the juice of one kernel going into another. So therefore you see Abaye indeed retracted. Comes Rava. Rava amar afilu zikifana meshare. Rava says even to roast the kernels even in the jug face up is allowed. Why? Meperot ninu. What do I care if it causes a puddle of juice on the bottom and therefore it's sitting in the puddle? It's meperot. It's the fruit juice of the wheat. Meperot enan machmitzim. And meperot do not have the ability to make chimutz. And if even it does collect on the bottom of the jug and absorbs, it is not going to be a problem, and you don't have to be suspicious to chametz. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tanu Rabbanan. En lotetin se'orin bePesach. One is not allowed to make letita to barley on Pesach. What is letita? That is cleaning or rinsing the grains in water before they would grind them. Now the reason why they would rinse it is in order to make the kelipa, to make the shell soft,
in order that when they grind it, it'll be much easier. So the halakha says here from the Braita that we do not make, one should not make letita in barley on Pesach. Now the issue is over here, because since you're putting it in water, the concern is that the water might cause it to make it chimutz. Comes the Gemara and says, "Ve'im latat." If you did soak the kernels in water, so it depends. Nitbakeu. If as a result of the soaking in the water, it caused the kernels to crack open, which means they became swelled and they cracked open, asurot. Because that's already a sign that they're beginning the chimutz process. Therefore, it'll be asur. Lo nitbakeu. However, if they did not crack open, mutarot, they're still permissible to be used on Pesach, because they are not hametz. Rabbi Yose Omer, Rabbi Yose comes along and says, if a person sees that the se'orim that were soaked are starting to open, and they're starting to swell, and he wants to stop them from becoming hametz, he has an option. Shoran behometz, he should soak them in vinegar, the chometz somtan, and the vinegar causes them to tighten or to close, or it causes them, actually the word would be to contract. And therefore, Rav Yoseh is giving a kula. He's coming along and saying, that which Tanna Kamma said, that nitbakiru is asud. So Rav Yoseh is saying, even nitbakiru, if you immediately put it in chometz, so that'll cause the barley to contract, and therefore you do not have a problem. Amar Shmuel, en halakha k'Rabbi Yoseh. Halakha does not follow Rabbi Yoseh, and therefore putting them in vinegar is not an option. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Mor Ukba. So Rav Chisda now explains the Braita. When the Braita said that if they swell up and crack, lo nitbakiru mamash, we're not talking about where they actually cracked open. Elat means kol she'ilu minihan al pi habit vehen nitbakiot melehen, which is if they're so swelled up that if you would now take these kernels and put them over a barrel of wine, it seems that the smell of strong wine does impact and affect barley. And therefore, if it is so swelled up that if you would put it on a top of a barrel of wine and the smell of the wine would cause them to crack open, so that already is considered nitbakeya, and therefore at that point it's considered hametz. Ushmuel Amar, Shmuel says no, nitbakeo mamash. No, when we said they swell open and they crack open, it's actual. It's not that they reached a level that they can swell. No, he means nitbakeo mamash. They actually reached swelling. And therefore, according to what we learned above, that Rabbi Yosef said that even if they swelled open and cracked, that there's a heter if you just put it in vinegar. So therefore, we understand Shemuel. Shemuel is telling you that yes, nitbakeya mamash, that even if they were nitbakeya, Rabbi Yosef would be lenient at that point to still stick it into the vinegar in order to stop the process. Comes the Gemara and continues. Avad Shmuel Ovda, Shmuel himself did a ma'aseh, Bedura Debe Barhashu, in the village of Barhashu. Barhashu was the name of a person, which means there was a case where there was the barley, and they soaked it, and he did a ma'aseh, Nitbakiru Mamash, which means he was only Makpid, he was only osed when they actually swelled open mamash, actually. However, if they did not, he would be matir, which means, according to Shmuel, he was loyal to his opinion, that he did a maaser. It was a case in Bet Hashu, that the wheat or the barley was soaked, and then it started to swell up, but since it did not open up mamash, so he was mekel according to the Shita. Amar Rava, Rabba said,
Baal Nefesh lo yiltot. Baal Nefesh would be, we would call him a Hasid. Somebody that's, let's say, very Mahmir, lo yiltot. He should not at all soak anything on Pesach. So comes the Gemara and says, my iriya Baal Nefesh. Why does Rava only refer to a Baal Nefesh, somebody that's Hasid? Afilu kole alma namer. Even everybody should be Mahmir. That Tanya, because we just learned in the Braita, en notetin se'orin bepesach, that you're not supposed to soak se'orin bepesach. So why does he say Baal Nefesh? So the Gemara says, Hachikama, this is what he means to say. Baal Nefesh afilu hitin dishrire lo yiltot. Which means a Baal Nefesh, a Hasid, should not soak even wheat kernels, even though wheat kernels are shirireh. Shirireh means they're hard. And therefore, even if you soak them, they don't become chanes that fast. Still, a Baal Nefesh should be mahmir, and therefore not even make letita by chitin. Amale Rav Nachman, Nachman said, man ditzayit le le'abba, anybody that listens to Abba, Abba was a nickname for Rabba. He says, anybody that's going to listen to Rabba on this subject, that's not going to make letita by chita, achil mahamad di'ipusha. He's going to eat bread that is spoiled. Or actually what he means over here is bread that is not clean. Which means if you're not going to soak the wheat is going to be dirty. And therefore you don't have to be mahmid in this case over here. And it's not necessary. Deha beravuna latete. Because in the house of Rav Huna, they would soak wheat kernels on Pesach. Uberava bar abin latete. And in the house of Rava bar abin as well, they would make the tita in the chitim on Pesach. Comes the Gemara and says, Verava amar, but Rava says, asur liltot. He says, no, it's not a Baal Nefesh. He says, it's asur min adin to make the tita by chita. Elah detanya. Oh, but a question. Ein lo titin se'orin bepesach. Why did the Braita say it's only forbidden to make letita by barley? Se'orin udela ha'chite share. It sounds like the se'orin are forbidden, but chitim is permissible. How could Rava say it's asur? So the Gemara answers for Rava, lo mebaya kamar. The Braita is working with the style of lo mebaya. Lo mebaya chitin. It goes without saying that you can't make letita by chitin. Kevan di it besriya. Because since wheat kernels have crevices, so certainly the water is going to enter in and it's going to cause it to become chametz. Because without saying chametz is asur. But barley is smooth. Therefore, I might have thought that it's permissible to make letita. Kamash ma'alan, that what even se'orin is asur. So the chidush of the Braita was even se'orin. The reason why the Braita did not have to mention chita, because chita was obvious. It comes the Gemara and says, even though Rava just taught us that letita by chita is asur, hadar amar Rava, Rava retracted and said, amar Rava mutar liltot. It is permissible to soak chitin at Pesach. The Tanya, because we have a Braita, Yosin bepat nikiya, it is permissible, as we learned on Pesach, to be Yotzei Yedei Chovat Matzah with pat nikiya, with clean bread, which means clean matzah, that the flour was refined. Ve hadra'a, or furthermore, that would be the black bread that still has the bran in it. Ve I efshar nikiya belo letita. And the Rava comes along and says, and we know you can't get clean bread, pat nikiya, unless you do letita, unless you soak it first. And therefore you see from the Braita, must be it's permissible to make letita on Pesach, because it's clearly allowing us to use pat nikiya. And pat nikiya can only come about if you did make letita. So comes the Gemara and asks this question. Etive rapapa le Rava. Hakemachin vaselato chel nochrim. The flowers and the silatot, which would mean the fine flour of the goyim, shel kefarim, if it comes from the villagers, teorim, meaning they do not have the ability or susceptibility to receive tum'ah, because the villagers do not soak their kernels, and therefore since they don't soak their kernels,
We know a rule that for something to become susceptible to Tum'ah, it has to be mukshar first. It has to become wetened. And since the villagers do not soak their kernels before they grind them, so therefore they're not susceptible to Tum'ah. But those people that live in the city, they do soak their kernels first, therefore they're mukshar to Tum'ah, therefore they're able to become Tameh. So the Gemara now explains the question. What's the reason why the wheat, or shall I say the flour, in the villages is not mekabel tum'ah? Lav mishum delo latete. It's because they do not make letita. Vechakari le solet. But still the Braita calls it solet, which is the Braita said, kemahim basilatot. So therefore we see that what? That even solet can be made, solet, fine flour, even though letita was not made. So therefore that is a question on Rava. Because Rava said, patnikiya can only come through letita, and if we wanted to put the letita's mutar. But here clearly you see in the Braita that the kemachim and the selatot of nochrim are not mekabel tumah, because they did not make letita. So you see, solid can be solid even without letita. So the Gemara answers, Targema akimha. No, we'll explain that Braita that was talking about the villages, it was only referring to the kemahim, not the silatot, meaning the kemahim of the villages is not mekabel tumah because they do not soak them first. But solid, of course they have to soak it, because you can't get solid without soaking. Batav denafik, after Rava left the Bet Midrash, Amar, so the Papa said, he regrets, my ta'ama lo emale, why didn't I tell Rava the following question? Behad Amar Rabbi Zira, from what Rabbi Zira taught, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Amar Shemuel, Chitin shel menachot, which means, you have the wheat that they would grind for the menachot that were brought in the Beit HaMikdash, en lo tetim otam. Halakha clearly says, you do not soak them. Vekakari lehu solet. And we know the Torah calls the menachot that were brought in the Beit HaMikdash solet. So you see clearly that it's possible to be called solet, which is nikiya, which is the clean solet, even though letita was not done. So comes the Gemara. So therefore, the Rabbah says, I could have brought a question from this Braita. I regret that I didn't bring him a question from this, actually, the statement of Yirmiyah Amar Shemuel. Gemara says, Hadar Amar Rava. Rava later came along and said, Mitzvah Liltot. That not only is it permissible to make Letita, but he took it a step further. And now he said it's actually a mitzvah to make Letita. So Rava really went from spectrum to spectrum. Rava started off and said, Asur Liltot. And then he retracted and said, Mutar Liltot. Then in his final understanding, he said, it's actually Mitzvah Liltot. Shene Emar, Ushmarte Metamasot. Which means you have to watch and you have to protect the Matzot from becoming Hametz. Ilo Deba'e Letita Shimur Lemai. Which means if you do not have to make Letita, which is when the kernels are going to come in contact with water, then what are you protecting it from? Which means, obviously you have to make letita, because, and that's what the Torah meant, ushmartem, that when the kernels come in contact with water, the Torah is telling you, we want you to be ushmartem et ha-matzot, we want you to protect them. So therefore, you know that the protection of the matzot from becoming hametz begins at the early stage of letita. So that's just proof that it's a mitzvah to make letita, to fulfill the mitzvah of ushmartem et ha-matzot. Gemara says, we're going to prove it to you now that the letita, that that's when shimur takes place, at the early stage of letita. E shimur delisha. If you can tell me no, maybe ushmartem et ha-matzot means that the shemira that you have to make on the matzot starts at the kneading process. So Gemara says, shimur delisha lab shimuru. The shemira that's made at the kneading process, which is a later process, is not enough to be considered matzah shemura. Why? Ve'amar avuna, because we have a statement of avuna. Betzekot shel nochrim. Let's say you have the doughs of the goyim that did not become hametz. You know, because there's certain signs you know that they did not become chametz. Adam memale kereso mehen, a person can fill his stomach up with them on Leil Pesach. Ubedat yochal kezayit matzah b'achronah. But at the end of the meal, he has to eat a kezayit of matzah shemura in order to fulfill the mitzvah of achilat matzah. You cannot be yotze achilat matzah with those matzot of the goyim. B'achronah in. So you can only eat the last matzah, which would be like the afikoman, from matzah shemura, but you cannot use the goyims. Barishonah, no. But you cannot use the goyims matzah to be yotze chovah. Question is why? If it's not chametz, why can't you be yotze with the matzah of the goyim? My ta'ama, what's the reason? Mishum de lo avad dehu shimur. Because obviously they did not make shimur. They did not watch the matzah enough to be considered matzah shimura. So Kibara says, v'li'ebid le shimur me'afiya va'ilach. Why don't you say that they were able to make a shimur from when they baked it, which means from the time that they baked the matzah and they prepared it, they should be considered shimur. So therefore, if it's shimur from the baking, why can't you use the bitzikot of goyim? Meaning, if you're telling me that already from the kneading it's considered shemirah, so therefore you're able to make shemirah from a later process. So I'll also argue you can make shemirah from the baking process. And therefore, why does the Gemara say that the bitzikot of nochrim are not considered matzah shemura? Elalav shvachmina shimur meikara ba'inan. That you need shimur from the beginning, even before the kneading process. Meaning even when the kernels were in their chaff. And therefore, since the goyim do not protect it at that stage, so therefore it's not considered matzah shemura. Proof positive to Rava that it's a mitzvah to make letita. Because at the time of the letita, that's when it comes in contact with water, and therefore the Hadush is shmartem at that point. So the Gemara says, Umimai, who told you that the reason why you cannot eat the dough of a goyim is because they did not have a proper shemirah? Dilma shani hatam. Maybe the reason of the bitzikot of the goyim is different. The bi'idna denachit la shimur lo avad la shimur, which means, because maybe I'll tell you that when he put the, really I'll tell you that shimur starts at the kneading process. And I'll just tell you the reason why you cannot rely on the goyim is because they didn't have shemirah at that process, which means maybe in the chenameh, the shimur doesn't take place till later on. And the reason why you cannot rely on the goyim for the matzah shimurah is because they don't even have kavanah for the shem matzah at that later stage. Which means, maybe I'll tell you that if the goy, when he did make the kneading process, if he did have kavanah, maybe it will be considered shimur. Which is, who told you that the shimur process takes place much earlier? Maybe it takes place at the lisha process. And since the goyim do not have kavanah at the time of the lisha, l'shem matzah mitzvah, so it was like it's a lishmatim. So the Gemara, therefore, this proves Rabba's proof. Rabba's own proof is why he wanted to say that mitzvah of shemirah takes place from the letita stage. But now we're saying no, we have no proof. So the Gemara says, afilu akilu adar b'Rabba. Still, Rabba did not retract. He held that shemirah of the matzah, l'shem matzah mitzvah, takes place at the beginning stage, even before kneading. Because Rava told these people, they used to work on the farms, they used to be in charge of mixing the bundles of wheat, and they would tie them into bundles. He would tell them, when you're flipping them, when you're turning them into bundles, turn them and bundle them for the sake of the mitzvah matzah. And that's very early in the process. Alma kasabad shimur beikara mitchilata ve'ad sof ba'ina. The shimur begins very early in the process, all the way to the end. Comes the Gemara and continues. Mor bered ravina menaketa le'ime be'arbe. Mor bered ravina, literally menaketa le'ime. His mother used to pick wheat from the fields for the sake of Pesach, be'arbe. Be'arbe is like in baskets, which means she would collect enough wheat the size of a basket, and then she would put them on the side and save them for Pesach. Again, you see that the Shemirah was already from the time of the Kitzirah, from the time of cutting it from the fields. So you see another proof that Shemirah of the Matzah from Chemutz takes place much earlier, even before the Lisha. Comes the Gemara and gives a story. Ahu arba dechite de taba bechishta. There was a certain boat of wheat that drowned in the river. So the boat went down. So now you had all the wheat that was on the boat was all drenched, was all wet. Sharia rava lezabune lenochrim. So Rabba allowed them to sell this wheat to the Goyim, but not to Israel, because since they became doused with water, so therefore they became Hametz, and it was close to Pesach. So you only allowed it to sell to Goyim. Etive, so they asked the question. Rabba bar liva'el Rabba. Rabba bar liva'el Rabba. Beged she'avad bo ked'ayim. Let's say you have a garment that you know has sha'nez in the garment. Sha'nez means you have a wool and linen mixture. However, you don't know exactly which part of the garment has the sha'nez in it. Hare ze lo yimkerenu lenochri. The halakha says you cannot sell it to a goy, because we're concerned that the goy in turn might sell it to a Jew. And since the sha'nez is not recognizable, the Jew might come and wear it. Furthermore, velo ya'aseh bo marda'at l'chamor. One cannot take this piece of sha'nez and make a saddle of it for the donkey and to sit on the saddle. Not because sitting on a saddle is sha'nez, because the concern is that he might forget and take this saddle, cut it and put it into his garment, and therefore you're going to place sha'nez in your garment. About osin oto tachrichin lamet. But you can take this beged of sha'nez and make it shrouds for a dead body, because I'm not concerned that somebody might come to use it, because all the clothes and items that are attached to a met are asur b'hana'ah. And therefore there is no palm, and there's no palm of isur, because the metim are not chayav in the mitzvot, like it says, b'metim chavshi, kevan she'adam met, when a person dies, he becomes free from the mitzvot. So comes the Gemara and analyzes. Lenochri ma'itamalo. What's the reason why you can't sell this beged of sha'nez to a goy? Lav mishum that adam is being the Israel, because he might come and resell it to a Jew, and the Jew's not going to know that sha'nez in there, and he's going to come to wear it. So therefore, how did Rava say it's permissible to take these hitim that were all doused with water and sell them to a goy? How can you do that? The goy in turn might sell it to the Jew, and the Jew's not going to realize that they became Hametz. Hadar amanava, so Rava retracted, and he said, Lesbino, kabbal Yisrael. Sell them only to Jews and sell them in measure, meaning one kav at a time. Why? Because since you're selling a small measure before Pesach, there'll be time for the Yisrael to eat it before Pesach. Ki hechi dechalya kameh pesha. In order that they'll all be gone before Pesach. I mean, if you sell the Jew a big quantity, there's going to be leftovers maybe for Pesach. But if you sell it to a Jew in small quantity, Rava says it is permissible. Comes the Gemara further. Tanu Rabbanan. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Braita. En molilin et chedera bePesach. The way that she learns is we're not allowed to take kema, which would be flour, and line the inside of a pot that has food in it on Pesach. Because what's the concern? Since you're cooking something, we're worried that before the item becomes very hot, during the bishul process, it is going to cause that flour that you put on the side of the pot to become chametz. Similar to what we learned earlier. Now, if it was boiling hot like halita, that would be permissible. But here we're talking about where it was cooking. And therefore, it's not fully hot yet. Therefore, it's going to be asur. However, the Gemara continues, varotzeh shim lol. But if a person wants to put the wheat in the pot, noten et hakemach, if he puts the kemach first, ve'agak noten et hachometz, and then he adds vinegar, meaning he puts, you have the tafshil in the pot. You could put the flour on the side of the pot. Now even though the flour is going to become hametz, if you add vinegar immediately, the vinegar will stop it from becoming chametz. So that's the chiddush. The yesh omrim af noten et chometz v'akach noten et kema. And some want to say that even if you put the vinegar first in tavshil and then you added the flour, the vinegar still has the ability to cause the flour to cook faster and not become chametz. So again, we have a machloket on the on what vinegar does. According to the first shita, only if you put the flour first, then you add vinegar, it'll stop it from becoming chametz. The second shita says doesn't matter. Even if you put the vinegar first in the tavshil, now it's all mixed, now you add the flour, it still has the ability to stop it from becoming chametz. So the Gemara asks, man yesh omrim, who's this opinion, the yesh omrim, that says that vinegar, no matter how, if it comes first or after, always has the ability to stop the flour from becoming chametz. Amar Rav Chisda, Rabbi Yehudai. It's the Yehuda from Masechet Shabbat. Now we learn the Masechet Shabbat. Ha'ilfaz v'kedera. These are different type of pots. She'avira mirotchin. It was on the fire. Erev Shabbat, you took these items off the fire. So now it's still considered a kli rishon. It's a kli rishon, meaning it's still boiling hot. Now we know a kli rishon has the ability to cook, even if it's not off the fire. I'm sorry, even if it is off the fire. So the Gemara says, Ha'ilfaz v'kedera she'avira mirotchin. Lo yiten tochan tevalin. On Shabbat, you're not allowed to put raw spices. Why? Because kli rishon is mevashel. And if you're going to put these raw spices in the kli rishon, it's going to cook them. But you can empty the contents of an ilfas or a kedera into a kli sheni, meaning into a serving plate, like a kehara or a tamhoi. Now, once you empty it into a kli sheni, you can put all the spices you want, because based on the principle that we say, kli sheni enu mevashel. However, Rabbi Yehuda omer lakol hu noten. Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, you can always put raw spices in a kli sheni, except chutz medavar sheyesh bo chometz v'sir, unless the kli sheni has in it already vinegar or brine. These items cause things to cook very fast, and therefore, even in a kli sheni, spices will get cooked if there's vinegar. So the same thing with chametz. If you take the chametz and put it in a tafshil, there's vinegar in the chametz, the chometz, the vinegar will have an ability to cook the flour quickly, and therefore it will stop it from becoming chametz. So therefore we found the opinion of the Yesh Omrim is Rabbi Yehuda Masechet Shabbat that says a kli sheni that has vinegar in it still has the ability to cook. In the same way that if you put flour in a kli that has a chometz vinegar in it, it'll also cook it very quickly and therefore not become chametz. So the Gemara says, Venuk na kerebi Yosef. What did you have to go to Masechet Shabbat and say it's going like Rabbi Yehuda? Let's say it's going like Rabbi Yosef that we just learned. Titanya, Rabbi Yosef Omer, Shoran bechometz, bechometz somtan. If you remember, we learned in the name of Rabbi Yosef that if a person, let's say, was making letita, he was soaking his barley, and he saw that they started to swell, and they started to split, so he said right away, put them in vinegar. Because vinegar, he said, has the property of contracting. So therefore, the same thing. Say the reason over here why. If you put vinegar, it's not because the vinegar causes things to cook quickly. It's just the nature of vinegar causes things to contract. And therefore, it's going to stop it from becoming chametz. So why don't you say that the opinion of the Yesh Omrim is Rabbi Yosef? So the Gemara answers, Ki Yashmin on the Rabbi Yosef. When did Rabbi Yosef say his hadush? That vinegar has the ability to contract things and not make them chametz. Hanimile di'ite be'ayne. That's when the vinegar is alone. Aval al yedet ta'arovet lo. But when it is mixed in a mixture, then Rabbi Yosef does not say that the vinegar has this power. And therefore here we're talking about a case where the vinegar is mixed with the tafshil. Rabbi Yosef only said vinegar alone has the ability to contract and not make chametz. Comes the Gemara brings another opinion. Ula amar, echad zeh ve'echad zeh asur. He says,
whether you put the vinegar first or whether you put the vinegar second, it's always going to be asur. He is mahmir. Mishum lech lech amrina nezira. Because the people tell the nazir, go, go, schor, schor lecharma. Go walk around and circumvent the vineyard. Lo tikrav, do not come close. Which means, just like we tell a nazir, we don't want him to walk by the vineyard because he might come unwittingly and eat a grape. So we tell him, circumvent, lech lech, schor, schor, go around. So too, the same thing when it comes to hametz. Even though technically it would be permissible, in certain cases if you have vinegar, but since other cases are asud, meaning if you pour the vinegar in first, and then you pour in the hametz, it's a problem. So therefore, that udah comes along and says we're machmir both ways, because of astringency, that one should not come to have hametz. Comes the Gemara and continues. Rav Papi share le burdiki de beresh geluta lemimcha kedera b'chasise. Rav Papa allowed the bakers of the Resh Galut in order to put flour, and as she says, this flour was dried flour, like we learned earlier, kemach kaliyot, was dry roasted flour. He allowed them to place it in the pot. Again, because when it's roasted, it cannot come to chimutz. Now, if you remember earlier, we learned that on daf lamitet amud bet, the Gemara said lo limhe. The Gemara said that indeed it is asur. And now the Gemara is coming to tell you that Pape allowed it. How do we reconcile? That's what Tosfot asked this question. So Tosfot says, because over there we were talking about when it says asur is dry roasted flour from wheat. Since here we're talking about hasiseh, which is the flour of lentils, which does not become hametz so much. So Tosfot wants to make a haluk between this Gemara and the Gemara above. Above we were machmir, that by dry roasted flour you cannot put it on the side of the pot, because we're concerned that if you didn't roast it properly, when you're going to put it in the liquid, it's going to make hametz. But Tosfot mentions we're talking about flour of lentils that does not become hametz so quickly. Amar Rava, Rava says, Ika deshari ki hai milta biduchta deshchirichi avdeh. Rava comes along and says, could somebody be matir? How is a papin matir to put this dry roasted wheat or dry roasted adashim, the flour of lentils, how is he mekel to put it on the side of the pot in the place where there's servants? Which means he was mekel in the place by the Resh Galut. And by the Resh Galut he has servants. And therefore the problem is, servants are very, very careless. And therefore, you shouldn't give them heterim that's easy for them to come to Isur. Therefore, to allow them to take kemach kaluyot and to put it in the pot, who knows if they're going to be so careful. Maybe it's not going to be baked fully, and therefore it's going to become hametz. So Rabbi was against giving a heter, especially by hametz, to a situation with people where they have servants. Because servants are irresponsible. So some have a different version of the story. That the Gemara says, Rava gufa machela kidra bahasise. Which means Rava himself was lenient to line the pot of his tafshil with this hasise, with this type of kemach. Which means he was lenient for himself. And therefore, he held that indeed it is permissible. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen ve'amen.